Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. Turn to your hymn books to song number 193. Song number 193, You May Have the Joy Bells. Song number 193, You May Have the Joy Bells. 193.
The joy bells ringing in your heart, and a peace that from you never will depart. Walk the straight and narrow way, live for Jesus every day. He will keep the joy bells ringing in your heart. Joy bells ringing in your heart. Joy bells ringing in your heart. Take the Savior here below with you everywhere you go. He will keep the joy. Jesus in this fullness you may know, and his love to those around you you see show. Words of kindness always say, deeds of mercy do each day, then he'll keep the joy bells ringing in your heart. Joy bells ringing in your heart. You will meet with trials as you're journeying through. Grace sufficient he will give to overcome. Though unseen by mortal eye, he is with you every night. And he'll keep the joy bells ringing in your heart. Joy bells ringing in your heart. Joy bells ringing in your heart. Take the Savior here below. Keep the joy bells ringing in your heart. Let your life speak well of Jesus every day. Hold his right to every service you can pay. Sinners you can help to win if your life is pure and clean. And you keep the joy bells ringing in your heart. Joy bells ringing in your heart. Joy bells ringing in your heart. Take the Savior. Joy bells ringing in your heart.
All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. I just pray that you help Brother Tanner to preach your word boldly and help him be filled with the Spirit and edify this church. Lord, thank you for allowing to be here with us this morning and for the rest of this day, Lord. And I just pray that you bless the rest of the service as it goes on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, for the next song, song number 178. 178, Jesus Loves Even Me. Song number 178, Jesus Loves Even Me.
I'm so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms I would flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when it's his beauty I see the great King. This shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Amen. Great singing, everybody. If you need a bulletin, just raise your hand and one of the ushers will come out and grab you a bulletin. Just raise your hand up nice and high. On the inside of the bulletin, you can see our service time: Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Church-wide soul winning is listed below. Any of the church-wide soul winning events are held here at the church. You'll meet up and then be sent out. The regional soul winning listed, you have to get with the individual, and you can just text them or call them, and they'll set up where y'all are going to meet up and where y'all will go out. We have the nursing home ministry run by my brother and I. If you would like to practice preaching or come out and support, just get with us. We do that at 2:30 every Saturday. Our church stats are listed below. We just broke 100 salvations for January, so we're doing good so far. We're going to start collecting the salvations in the announcement. So anything after Wednesday, we'll start at Thursday. Do we have any salvations? Just raise your hand and how many were saved on Thursday? Any salvations on Thursday? Okay, and what about Friday? Any salvations on Friday? Eight? Two? All right, amen. So that's 10 on Friday. Any others on Friday? All right, how about Saturday? How many do we have in the groups? Amen. All right, that's 4, and then we had 3 more. Make me do math over here. That's 7. Any others on Saturday? Any others on Saturday? All right. Amen. So that's another 17. Keep up the good work with soul winning. We'll be going out at 2:30 today also if you'd like to join us. Please pray for our expecting ladies listed below. Bible memory challenge, week 13 of 27. We got Leviticus 20:13 on there. So it's a pretty famous passage. So, you know, hey, if you're 18 or under, go ahead and get that memorized so you can get your ice cream on Wednesday. That's anybody under 18. On the back there, we have our upcoming events. There's a bunch of events there. February 22nd, we'll have our Dallas Soul Winning Marathon. So we're going out to Dallas, do a little blitz out there and shine the light. That's February 22nd. Details to follow. Also, that same day, that Saturday, we'll have a men's preaching class at 6 p.m. So you can pray yourself a 10-minute sermon or less. Come out with a shirt and tie and a King James Bible, you know, no heresy, and we'll go out and get some good preaching. March 14th, we'll have another men's preaching class. That'll also be on a Saturday at 6 p.m. March 21st, we're going to have a soul winning marathon on I-30. You know, in the area that we're looking to plant the church over there, there's a bunch of apartments. We've already had a couple brothers go out there and kind of test the waters. It seems like it's being pretty receptive. So we're going to do a soul winning marathon over there on I-30 with all those apartments. March 29th, we have Friend Day. That'll be here at the church. April 4th. We'll have another men's preaching class at 6 p.m. April 11, we're going to do the Soul Winning Mega Marathon where we do the whole United States, yeah, the whole world. So that'll be really awesome to participate in that. April 20th, we're going to have a homeschool field trip. May 4th through the 9th is going to be the Bahamas mission trip. So that's coming up sooner than you think. So if you want to partake in that, you know, start looking at plane tickets. And I think the church is providing a place to stay. They'll probably help out with some food, but, you know, we'll get out there, get some transportation. You get your way out there, we'll take care of you while you're there. And, you know, hey, you get to go to the Bahamas, so it's not going to get any better than that. We're going to have a church picnic on May 23rd. May 23rd, we'll have the church picnic. On June 13th, we're going to do a small town soul winning marathon. So we're going to go out and find a small town just outside the DFW area. And, again, we'll just blitz in there, get a bunch of people saved, and, you know, leave them with a bunch of information, Bibles, DVDs, and, you know, hopefully they'll come, and if not, we'll still see them in heaven, so it'll still be a blessing. June 13th is that small town soul winning marathon. Again, on September 26th, we're going to go to Wichita Falls and do a soul winning marathon out there, and then on October 13th, we'll have another homeschool field trip. So all that's on the back of your bulletin. A lot of stuff going on, so we got a busy year. Pastor Shelley's in Jacksonville, so he'll be preaching there, and he should be back Wednesday as far as I know. So with all that, we'll go with our final song. Brother Alberto, will you lead us?
All right, if you turn to your white handouts and turn to the song Holy, Holy, Holy. Your white handouts, Holy, Holy, Holy. Because God is three persons, amen? Amen.
As the offering plates are being passed around, please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25.
Proverbs chapter number 25, and the Bible reads, "These are also the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The heaven for height, and the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better is it that it be said unto thee, Come up hither, than thou shouldest be set put lower in the presence of the prince, whom thine eyes have seen. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reproof upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him, for he refresheth the soul of his master. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so hate thee. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, as is vinegar upon nitrate, so is he that singeth songs to an heavy heart. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. The north wind driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. It is better to dwell in the corner of an housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. A righteous man falleth down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It is not good to eat much honey, for so for so men to search their own glory is not glory. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray you fill Brother Tanner with your Holy Spirit. Give us all ears to hear and help him to edify us. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, first off, I just want to thank Pastor Shelley for the opportunity to preach here for you guys. Just give you a little rundown of Steadfast OKC. You know, we had 843 salvations this past year. So I want you to know that your investment is not in vain. We're extremely thankful for this church and what you guys have done, not just in Oklahoma City, but in Jacksonville and then also in Pure Words. And so I'm thankful for a pastor. I was talking to a few people here that, I've learned so much just being underneath his preaching. And so it was humbling that he would, ask me to preach in his stead. So, and other thing too, there's a lot of firsts for me today. This is my first time to ever be here in Fort Worth, Steadfast. And this is also the first time I've ever been protested against. So amen for that. And so they probably had no clue that I would be here, I'm sure. So with that, let's get into the sermon. Look down at verse 4. It says, "Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer." And the title of my sermon this morning is, "Be Thou an Example of the Believers in Purity." Be thou an example of the believers in purity. Hold your place there in Proverbs chapter 25, but turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I've been going through a small little series in OKC on this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. And the series is geared towards, equipping believers in how to be an example to those that are within their church and those that are without their church. And so if you look there at verse 12, it says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And so this morning we're going to be talking about how to be pure in the sight of God. God, we just sang that song, holy, holy, holy. And God is holy. God is pure. And so as a Christian, we should be living a life that is pure. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 4, what does it say? It says, "Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer." There's this picture of the refiner as Jesus Christ and us being the vessel where he is purging out those infirmities, those impurities to make us malleable, to make us moldable, to mold a vessel that he would have us to be and to be a pure Christian. Psalms chapter 12, verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times." And so here we have an example of what it means to be purified, what it means to be pure. It's talking about the words of God. The words of God are pure. They are infallible. They have no error. And it's interesting that it uses this terminology where it says that it was purified seven times. It's not something that goes through a purifying process only one time. There's multiple processes in purification. Malachi chapter 3, verse 3 says, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now, this is talking about Jesus Christ being the refiner. And Jesus Christ is who is going to be working this purification process within us. But ultimately, it is up to us to purge out those infirmities, impurities. He's going to present the things, that fire that is needed to purge it out. But we have the, we have a free will. You know, God's not just, forcing us to be pure. No, we have to choose to make a choice in our life to be pure, to live a pure life. And these are examples of what it means to be pure, or where purification comes from. I like to collect silver. And when you buy a piece of silver, or when you, as you should buy a piece of silver, you should buy it as a 99.9% purity. And you buy that because it's going to first have more value when it's 99.9% pure. But not only that, the whole process of purifying silver so they can shape it and mold it into their own image and their own form, right? So there's all different types of silver coins that you can collect, and each one of them have a different superscription upon them. And the process for purifying silver is to apply an extreme amount of heat. You apply an extreme amount of heat to purge out those blemishes, to purge out those impurities. And when it's all done, at the end of each process, the impurities, the blemishes, they come, they float to the top. And that's called the dross. And as a refiner, you take off the dross, but you're not done because the silver's not 99.9% pure. You then expose that silver to another process of extreme fire and heat. And again, more of the dross floats to the top. And this process is done over and over and over again until the silver is purified. And each time, there is less and less dross that has to be removed from the silver. That's the process of purification in the carnal sense, in the physical sense. God, He has mined us out, if you will. He has mined that silver. We are His election. And now He wants to put us to the fire. He wants to purify us to be able to do good works, to be that vessel of honor that God would have us to be. As a Christian, we should be living a life of purity. We should be living a life of purity. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. You can lose your place there in Proverbs. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, it says, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Verse 3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So when we get saved, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we are given that power to become the sons of God. John chapter 1, verse 12 teaches us that. We are His sons. We have His DNA. The Holy Spirit is within us. And knowing that, as our hope in life, we look towards that second coming of Christ. Whether we be dead, when that time comes, or whether we're alive and remain, we're going to be called up into the sky, and we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be made like Him. We will be pure, even as He is pure. But knowing those things, knowing the hope that is to come, we should therefore purify ourselves while we are here on this earth. While we still have breath in our life, we should be setting the example of the believers in purity by purifying ourselves. You notice it says that we should purify, it says purify Himself, even as He is pure. Purify Himself. Before we read that Jesus is the refiner. And so what we're going to see is that it's a two-part process. God's going to apply that pressure. He's going to apply the fire. He's going to apply the means by which we are purified, but ultimately it's up to us whether we choose to go through those fires, to go through the purification process that we need to succeed in the Christian life. You know, unfortunately, today, Christians are not pure. They're not living a life of purity. You go down the road to Silver Dross Baptist Church, and they teach them to, you know, it's okay if they drink a little bit. It's okay to live in fornication. It's okay to listen to ungodly music, to watch the movies, the filth that comes from Hollywood. You know, they teach that it's okay to live an impure life. They are Silver Dross Baptist Church. They teach people to sin against God. We live in a world where impurity or purity in the Christian life does not exist. And as God's people, being the sons of God, we need to make it a point in our life to purify our life, to purify those infirmities and those impurities that we have. And, you know, we need to make that a priority in our life to get the garbage out, to get the filth out of our life, to get the smut out of our life and out of our mind.
Right.
You know, purity, it takes place in the heart. Purity takes place in the heart. Turn over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We're going to see an example of where, you know, sin comes from. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, look at verse 18. It says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." So the Bible is teaching that sin, it starts off in the heart. You know, when you look on a woman with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery, the Bible says. When you hate your brother in your heart, you have committed murder, the Bible says. You know, oftentimes, you know, the sin that comes forth starts off from the lust of the heart. It starts off in the heart. You know, lust, when it hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And so, if we want to purify our hearts, we have to understand first where the purification process needs to take place. It needs to take place in our heart. It needs to start in our heart. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And so as a church that wants to serve God, you know, we need to make it a point in our life that we aren't going to lust after the things in this world. We're not going to love the world. The reason why you have Silver Dross Baptist Church is because they love the world. Yeah. They love the lust of the flesh. They love the pride of life. They love those sins that the world commits. They're afraid of taking a stand. They're afraid of being set apart, being sanctified unto God. They'd rather be cool. They'd rather, the effeminate males would rather, you know, wear the skinny jeans to fit into Hollywood. You know, the ladies would rather, you know, dress immodestly like the billboards and the wickedness that we see in this life. You know, wickedness, it's all around us. You know, the Bible says that we are to be in the world but not of the world. We're not going to go run off, you know, and start some cult or some commune out in the middle of nowhere. We're going to live in the world. We're going to preach the gospel to the lost. But just because we are in the world doesn't mean that we have to be of the world. We don't need to, you know, put those things before our eyes. You know, one thing that most Christians fail in is music. You know, my advice is turn off the radio. Don't even turn it on. There's nothing but wickedness that comes through on that. You know, back home in Oklahoma, there's a lot of cowboy churches. And a lot of those churches, they all, you know, all the members, they listen to They listen to country music, you know, and country music is wicked. You know, being here in Fort Worth, you know, I saw some cowboys, and it's, you know, it's not anything that's new, you know, to, you know, for my eyes. You know, I see that a lot in Oklahoma as well. And, you know, the place we were staying, they had some country music playing. And here's the thing, country music, it talks about idolatry. It talks about fornication. It talks about getting drunkenness, being drunk. It talks about, impairing your judgment through, you know, other means other than just drinking. It, you know, and people's excuse, what they'll say is, well, it mentions Jesus, you know, every fourth song. It says the name of God every fourth song, so it's not that bad, right? In the same song, it'll talk about drinking, at a bar, but then also going to church on Sunday. It's wickedness. It's disgusting. You know, as a Christian, we need to be pure. We need to understand that God wants us to be pure in our life. Think about the television. Before I move on to that, you know, one thing I really enjoy about our churches is we sing a lot of the Psalms. We don't just sing the hymns. We sing the Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And my kids, you know, the first time they heard Psalm 139, you know, the greatest thing, you know, to my ears, they're going around and just singing that. You know, do not I hate thee, O Lord, that hate them. Or actually, I screwed that up. But anyways, they go around singing that song, right? And singing the Psalms and the hymns, you know, that's what our children need to be exposed to. They don't need to be exposed to the wickedness of the radio stations. They don't need to be exposed to those things. You know, the television is another area of our life where we can expose ourselves to impure thoughts, to impure, things that can come across in our mind. You know, Hollywood, they produce movies and programming to corrupt the mind. That's the whole purpose. And you look at a Christian church today, and that's exactly what they're emulating. They are, you know, they're emulating Hollywood. They're emulating the wickedness that is in, that we see on the TV, that we see in movies. You know, my suggestion or my admonition is that just throw away the TV. Just get rid of it. At least turn off the TV programming and the junk. You know, listen to a sermon. If you got to watch TV, listen to a sermon. Listen to something that's educational. If you have to sit in front of a TV, watch something that isn't going to pervert your mind. That's what Satan, you know, he's the god of this world, and he's the one that wants to pervert the mind. And he does it by the means of television and movies. You know, there's a lot of churches in Oklahoma City that they'll, you'll drive by and they'll have on their billboard, Despicable Me. And we're having a showing of Despicable Me. Come and learn about God and Despicable Me. Or they'll have, you know, some other wicked show. That's the only one I could think of on the top of my head. They'll have some other movie that they'll be promoting, and they'll try to apply Christian values to the movie. It's wickedness. And we wonder why, you know, so many Christians, aren't living a pure life, that they are living a life full of just drunkenness and fornication and adultery. And I mean, just anything that you can possibly think of, lying, stealing. You know, the reason why is because the churches are not preaching hard against sin. They're not teaching that you need to remove that dross from your life. You need to remove the impurities from your life. You need to remove that wickedness from your life. You know, as a young adult or a young male or female, a young man or woman, you know, that's not married, you need to make it a point in your life. I cannot stress more that you need to make the decision today, right now, if you haven't already, to keep yourself pure unto God, to not get involved in fornication, not live with the opposite sex. And, you know, that's another thing that Christians today find no, fault in. They think it's completely fine to go, to live and get shacked up before they're married. And, you know, most of them don't even believe in marriage anymore. And that's exactly what the world would leave you to conclude, is that marriage, there's nothing holy in marriage. There's nothing to be sanctified in marriage. But that's wickedness. We ought to obey God rather than man. And the Bible teaches that as a young male or female who is not married, you need to purify your mind. If a lustful thought comes into your mind, say a prayer. You know, open up your Bible. Purify your mind of the wickedness and the wicked thoughts. Because here's the thing, again, we live in the world. It's going to happen. Things are going to come before your eyes, whether it's on the billboard. It's so rampant in our country, you can't avoid it, unfortunately. But as a single male or young man or young lady, you need to sanctify yourself. You need to set yourself apart and not, you know, think that it's strange that you, you know, that you're not running off to the excess of the world. You know, that's the problem. Another problem with Christians today is they look at, the world, and they don't want to be viewed as being strange. They don't want to be viewed as being uncool or, you know, somebody who, you know, oh, I, you know, as a lady, I wear a dress to church, or I wear a dress to the food market. You know, they're afraid of, you know, the ridicule that might come to them. Or, you know, just being able to take a stand. Like, if all their friends are going down to the bar on Saturday night, they're too afraid not to be cool and to not join them. Because they're going to think that they're strange, no doubt. I mean, the world looks at us, they think we're strange. I mean, you know, they're a good example. They think we're strange, but who's right? At the end of the day, who's right? Would you rather, you know, obey the world, or would you rather obey God? Would you rather obey what the Bible teaches? Turn over to James chapter 4. How do we purify our heart? How do we purify our heart? While you're turning to James chapter 4, I'm going to read for you Philippians chapter 4. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And so if we want to purify our heart, we need to think on the things that are pure. We need to think on the things that are honest. We need to be, you know, thinking on the things that are just in this world. And where are we going to get that from? We're going to get it from the words of God. James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Don't be a Christian that has a double mind, that says, on Sunday I go to church and I worship God, but on Monday I go to the bar and I, you know, live a life of wickedness. I swear at church, or I'm sorry, I swear at work. I steal, I cheat to get ahead. I do whatever it takes, you know, to get what I want. You know, the Bible says we should not be double-minded. If you're going to go to church, and if you're saved, you're the son of God, you need to represent God in the right way. Don't be double-minded. Wash your hands. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your heart, ye double-minded. How can we purify our heart? Well, one way we can purify our heart is by the words of God. We purify our heart by the words of God. In Psalm 119, there's a verse that says, "Thy word have I hid in thine heart, that I might not sin against thee." If you want to purify your heart, one of the fires, one of the processes that God's going to use to get that dross out of your life, to get those impurities out of your life, is the words of God. You must be reading the words of God if you want to purify your hearts. You know, one thing that I've noticed, since the church started in Oklahoma City, I never really made it a point to read all the way through my Bible. And, you know, ever since the church started, there was a sermon that was preached, and it really encouraged me to start reading my Bible. And this was even before I was preaching. And what I noticed is the more that I read my Bible, the less wicked thoughts that I had, the less, you know, the struggles that I had with lustful thoughts or lustful, the prides of life, the lust of the eyes, the less struggle that I had in those things came from reading the words of God. I started to think on things that were pure. I started to think on things that were right. How we're going to purify our heart is by reading the words of God. It's going to get all those imperfections out. You know, even if it's, you know, maybe a doctrine that isn't quite right. Maybe if it's something, you know, that you're struggling with that you've heard preached from the pulpit. You know, the words of God, they're going to purify those things. The Bible is going to lead you into all truth. Another way we can purify our hearts is through fervent prayer. And I think this is probably an area of Christian's life where it kind of falls by the wayside. We forget and we tend to forget how powerful prayer is and how much it can really work in our life. You know, and as an area in my life too, you know, I want to be a better prayer. I want to, you know, there's times where, you know, people, they'll come into my life or you know, something has happened and I'll forget to pray for them. And, you know, later on that bothers me. And I try to make it a point to, you know what, I'm going to stop what I'm doing right now and pray for them. Or if I'm out soul winning and I meet somebody and maybe they're saved, but they say, hey, can you pray for my husband? Can you pray for my wife? Can you pray for my children? You know, I want to make a point to just stop and pray for them. And when it comes to our life, when it comes to our impurities, the imperfections that we have, you know, a way that God's going to purify those things from us is to get on our knees and to pray to God. Ask God for His strength. Ask God for His mercy. Ask God to give us understanding. Ask God to give us wisdom and knowledge. Ask God to, you know, to direct our path. You know, there's an extreme amount of power in prayer. And as a Christian, I think this is an area where most people, they tend to, you know, forget about this aspect. Or the only time they pray is when they're praying for something they want. They're praying for something that they think that they need. They're not necessarily praying for God to purify their hearts, for God to give them that wisdom, that strength, that understanding that they need. You know, maybe it's a trial, a tribulation you're going through. That's another area where we can purify our hearts is through the trials and tribulations. Christians, they look at those things and they avoid them. They don't want to go through those trials. They don't want to go through the tribulations. But those fires that come into our life, they are what help purify us. They're what help make us grow. You know, I wouldn't have grown as much in the last year in my Christian life had I not had some trials and some tribulations that came along the way. And as a Christian, we're not going to purify those infirmities. We're not going to purify those things out of our life unless we allow those trials and tribulations to come. And we approach them with all joy, knowing that, you know, that, yea, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to come. If you are living godly if you are living a godly life, those tribulations, those trials, they're going to come. They're going to be there. You know, don't think it's strange, you know, if God puts those things in front of you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Embrace the trials and tribulations that come into your life. Because once you get through that fire, once you get through that that purification process, you're going to have more dross that floats to the top that's going to be skimmed off. And you're going to become more pure. You're going to become more like Christ. Another way we can purify our hearts is through obedience unto God's word. We shouldn't just be a hearer of the word. We should be a doer of the word also. Being obedient unto God, it is an evidence of the absence of impurities in our life. When we are obeying the commandments that God has given us, when you are going out soul winning every single day, once a week, when you're making that a priority in your life, to be a soul winner, to serve God with all your heart, to read your Bible every single day, to obey all the commandments, to not be like Silver Joss Baptist Church, you know, when you're being obedient unto God's word, that is going to be an evidence of the absence of the impurities that God has been purging out in your life. And we shouldn't just be a hearer of the word, we should be a doer of the word also. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy chapter 2. I can't stress enough, you know, how important it is for a Christian to be pure in this life. We need to live a life that is of purity. We need to purge out those infirmities. We need to purge out those imperfections in our life why? So God can use us. You know, if we want to be used of God, if we want to be a vessel unto honor, we've got to get rid of the dross. We've got to get rid of those things. Otherwise, it's just going to be in vain. You know, or you're going to cause God, you're going to dishonor God. He's not going to be looking down on you and be pleased. I don't care how many times you go soul winning. You know, if you do go once every day, you know, that's absurd. I wouldn't say you would have to do that. But the point that I'm trying to make is even if you are doing that, going soul winning every single day, but yet your life was just filled with impurities and wickedness and wicked thoughts and lustful thoughts, you know, you're dishonoring God. It doesn't matter how many works you do. You're not going to be a vessel unto honor. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 says, Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know, Christ, he died for us. So the least that we could do is serve God, is purify ourselves as he is pure. We should try to live a life that's going to, you know, like 1 John chapter 3 said, we should purify ourselves as he is pure. If we have that hope in us, if we are looking for that coming of Jesus Christ, we should purify ourselves. God, he has redeemed us from all iniquity, so that way we could be that peculiar people. That way we could be that chosen generation, that royal priesthood. But, you know, we're not going to be able to, you know, please God if we aren't purifying ourselves, if we aren't taking out those infirmities in our life. Do you want to be zealous of good works? You know, I think of this movement, you know, the like-minded churches as, you know, the special forces in God's army. You know, most other Baptist churches, they're like, you know, the National Guard. You know, they barely even get deployed, right? But we are like the special forces. When we know how to wield a weapon, we know how to go out and use that weapon. But here's the thing, you know, the Green Berets, the Navy SEALs, the Army Rangers, they aren't just skilled in weaponry. They're not just skilled in weaponry. They are disciplined. They have disciplines that allows them to be successful in battle. You know, I've heard of stories of these guys sitting in a location in the woods for, you know, over 24 hours with no food, no water, waiting for that opportunity for them to fulfill the mission that was put in, that was given unto them. And so as, you know, if we want to consider ourselves the special forces, we can't just, you know, rely or just stop at the fact that we know how to wield a good weapon. We need to also be disciplined in our life. We need to be pure in all things. We need to purge out those infirmities and those impurities. You're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look there in verse 21. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. This is why we need to be purified. If we want to be a vessel unto honor, if we want to be meet for the master's use, suitable for the master's use, if we want to be prepared unto every good work, you know, as I said before, in the you know, purifying silver, if there's still impurities there, if there's still you know, these blemishes, the dross, if it's still in the silver, you can't really mold it. You can't really shape it into what you want it to be. Not only that, it's weak. It's easily broken. You think of like a silver ring or silver jewelry. If it's not 99.9% pure, that jewelry is going to break under pressure. It's going to break because it's weak. It doesn't have all the dross taken out. It doesn't have all those impurities and infirmities that have been purged through that purification process. And so as a Christian, we ought to, you know, set in our mind to set ourselves apart from this world. This world, you know, if there's ever a time to be set apart, to be pure, to be sanctified, it's today. It's now. We live in a wicked generation. A generation that calls, you know, those things that are evil, good, and those things that are good, evil. And so it is extremely important that we understand that, you know, we need to be reading our Bible to purge out those infirmities. We need to get on our knees and pray to purge out those infirmities. We need to embrace the trials and tribulations in our life to purge out the infirmities. We need to, make it a priority in our life. This isn't Silver Joss Baptist Church. This is Pure Gold Baptist Church. This is Steadfast Baptist Church. Oftentimes the Bible, when it talks about pure, it talks about gold. The gold that was in the vessels that were in the temple. And if you want to be a vessel of honor, a vessel of purity, you need to purge out those infirmities. And listen, a church this size, chances are there's people that are, struggling with infirmities in their life. They're struggling with impurities in their life. A church, our church in Oklahoma City, there's people there probably struggling with infirmities in their life, struggling with impurities in their life. All Christians face this, this dilemma, because here's the thing. We start off at, just being mined rock, silver out of the mine. We start off raw. We start off, without any, purification taking place. So all of us must go through that process. And it's not going to just be one time, one and done. It's the Bible says that the words of God are pure words tried in the furnace of fire seven times. In that example, you have seven times that the words of God went through, and I think that's just a picture of what purity, where purity comes from, that it has to be taken into the fire multiple times. It's not something that's just going to, you're going to be, you get over that one first hump, read through the Bible just one time, and you're done. No, you keep going. You keep that process going in your life until you are pure. And here's the thing. You're never going to be 100% pure. You're never going to reach that until Christ comes again. We're always going to have sin in our life that we're going to have to deal with. But we can. The Bible says that we need to purify ourselves like He is pure. It is possible to purge out those infirmities, to purge out the dross that can be, built up in our life. Let's not be like Silver Joss Baptist Church. Let's set ourselves apart. Let's not, think it strange that, think it not strange that we run not to the excess of riot as the world does. We should purge out those things. So with that, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for just the opportunity to preach. God, I pray that you would help me to purify my own heart, Lord, and you would just help this message to sink down in the hearts of those of the hearers. God, I pray that you would just continue to bless this church, and I'm so thankful for this church and everything that it's done for us in Oklahoma City. And God, I pray that you would bless the soul winning this afternoon, and Lord, that you would just everything that we would do here today would bring honor to your name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you for that sermon, Brother Tanner. All right, next song, song number 155. Song number 155, Doxology. It's a short song, so we're going to sing it twice. Doxology, song number 155. Dismissed.